University Broadcast Studio. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. This is the home stretch for all of you gun-toting, Bible-clinging deplorables out there. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. What an honor to have you with us here today, folks. As promised, we are going to open up the phone lines for this entire hour of the show. We're going to have a great time taking your calls, and very honored to have a special guest with us, really becoming a regular for the show, our good friend Chet Hopper from KWAM Radio in Memphis, host of The Real Resistance, which is a very popular weekend radio show. Chet, good to see you.
Hey, Todd, always a pleasure, man. Thanks for having me on.
Digging the camo hat.
You know what? I saw the camo hat, and I was like, I don't need another camo hat, but it's U of M. Let me go ahead and get it. I had to.
So I got
to
brag on you. I was telling someone, they said, what is it like living back in Memphis, Tennessee? You know, 15 years in New York, coming back to Memphis. They said, what is it like? I said, well, let me tell you. I said, you know, we got a lot of hate mail when I first came back here. You know where I'm going with this story.
I do.
Got a lot of hate mail. And you knew that I was getting a lot of hate mail. And you happen to be a gun aficionado.
Oh, yes.
And you basically are the you're in charge of the KWAM militia.
Exactly.
And so you called me up one night. I guess the protesters were close to where I live. And you said, Starnes, I know you don't have a gun right now, but I can come over.
Or give you three, whatever you need.
Whatever. I said, that's what it's like to live back in the South.
I'll bring the tea.
In New York City, they just send you a six-pack of San Pellegrino. I mean, that's
or a Grace Papaya hot dog.
Or something like that. Yeah, there you go. So, Chet Hopper, great to have you with us. And, a lot going on here in Memphis. Before we go to the phones, I teased this story in the last hour. Here in our neck of the woods, controlled by Democrats, and the latest news is they're shutting down all of the bars except for the bars on Beale Street.
Right.
And them bars that serve food, many of them are having to shut down as well. One of the guys owns a very popular restaurant here called The Alchemy. It's for the highfalutin folks. I'm more of a Waffle House guy, but I hear they've got good food over there. And he said he was going to defy the law. And they told him, okay, you do that, we're going to yank your license and we're going to fine you $1,500 a day. What's going on here?
You know, I don't know, especially if you're trying to do it for health purposes. I don't understand the exemptions. Now, once I read about Beale Street, I saw that it was exempt because it was a recognized historic district. Does that mean that the COVID-19 just doesn't like old places? Like, I'm not understanding, if it's about safety, why that's the thing. And it seems to be like either the tourist places are still open and the big companies can stay open, but they're trying to really hit the places that are locally owned, the mom and pop shops. I mean, yes, Alchemy is a nice restaurant. You go in and it's nice, but it's not a chain. It's locally owned by that guy. Whereas you can still go to Chili's and get 2-for-1 margaritas. Like, the COVID doesn't live there. I don't get it.
You know, I want my baby backs, but I don't want them from there.
Right.
You know, you're going to go get them at Central Barbecue or the Commissaire.
Right.
To that point, Michigan, the state of Michigan, the owner of a gymnasium got fined. Not only did he get fined, every single person lifting weights got fined as well. I mean, this is happening all over America right now.
And the crazy thing is that even with what I am going to step out on a limb and say is an exaggeration of numbers with COVID cases, I believe they're reporting way more than there actually are. The death rate, the mortality rate, is still way less than the flu ever is. The total numbers are still less than the flu. And we never shut down for that. It kills thousands of people every year. I'll be glad when November the 4th is here and all this is over.
That's exactly when it's going to be over.
Absolutely.
That's when COVID season is over. All right, let's get to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Let's go to the great state of Mississippi. Dean, you are on the air. Welcome to the show, Dean.
Yes, sir, Todd. I sure appreciate your show, man.
Thank you.
It's been a great book. But a great blessing to me, keeping up with events and everything like you do for us. And I just wanted to, first off, I wanted to comment on how hot it is down here in Mississippi.
How hot is it down there, Dean?
It's so hot the turtles have took their shells off and they're walking around naked. That's how hot it is down here.
Chet Hopper, they got naked turtles in Mississippi.
Naked turtles in Mississippi. Look, I appreciate that turtle because
that's hot, Dean.
It is hot.
Thank you for the visual, Dean.
Yes, sir. I'll give you something to think about the rest of the day. Yeah. But anyway, Todd, what I was thinking about, man, I've been studying about all this stuff. You know, you have to come to a conclusion that with all these people thinking that everybody needs to apologize for the race that they are, is that blaspheming God? Because initially, all this falls back to God who created all of us. He created all the colors. He created all the races. Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 2 says, "The Lord made and formed me in my mother's womb." And then after that, it says, Isaiah 43 and verse 7, it says, "Everyone that is called by my name, for I have created him for my glory, I have formed him, yea, I have made him." And then Jeremiah 13 says, in verse 23, "Can an Ethiopian change his skin or a leopard his spots?" So God has made us who we are and what we are. And even in Acts chapter 17 and verse 26, it says right there that God has made one blood of all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitations.
Now, you see what just happened here, Chet Hopper, is that Dean, he dropped some knowledge on us from the Old and the New Testament. And Dean, this is something that I've been talking about for a very long time on this radio show. And you're absolutely right, Dean. What they're doing is they are blaspheming God when they are placing one race over the other. We are all created equal in the eyes of God.
And exactly. Dean, also to your point, they're not even just blaspheming God. They're absolutely lying to you. I don't know how it is down in Mississippi where you're at, but here in Tennessee or up in Memphis area, it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're walking down the street and you wave at somebody, they wave back. I mean, we don't hate each other as much as
you could get shot.
Well, you could,
but
but normally 9 times out of 10, you know, everybody doesn't hate each other the way they keep telling us we're supposed to on the news. It doesn't happen.
That's exactly right. But white people, black people, I had a guy open the door at Pilot for me today in New Albany. A black guy opened the door when I walked in. I mean, it happens all day long with all the races and everything. We speak to each other, and it's crazy, man. But there, all it is the devil hates all of us, and he's just trying to stir up trouble in the country. And we know that it's not going to be long. We're going to be checking out of here, buddy. Ready for the Antichrist.
Dean, I want you to promise me you got to give us a call back sometime. You're kind of like our sage from Mississippi. Wise words, sir. Thank you.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Todd.
All right. Good guy right there.
Yeah, Dean had it, man. He had the funny. He had the info. He did the these and thous and the updated language. He had it on.
Yeah, I'm still working on the naked turtle.
Yeah.
But you never know what's going to happen on.
You know
radio,
what? I bet so. They wouldn't close that bar down if they had naked turtles.
Well, there you
on
go.
The pole. Everybody would go see that.
Turtle
I think.
On the half shell. All right, 844-747-8868. Our toll free number. Let's go to Detroit, Michigan. Luther, what's going on?
Hey, Todd, how you doing today? Great show.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Well, we got a double whammy from our governor yesterday. I don't know if you've seen the press conference, but not only did she come out with a new executive order with a $500 fine for not wearing a mask indoors or outdoors, wherever there's a lot of people, but, and I had to look this up, here's a new one. She is mandating that our healthcare workers have to take implicit bias courses. Have you even heard of that?
What does that have to do with stopping a virus?
That's what the press conference was supposed to be about. And I actually left your show yesterday to go watch it for a little bit. And implicit bias, they had a whole bunch of people up at the podium just pandering to BLM. And I never even heard of implicit bias.
Now, let me make sure I heard you correctly. You said healthcare workers were going to be subjected to this?
All the healthcare workers.
All healthcare workers.
Their logic behind all healthcare workers. Because
well, I'm just wondering what's the difference when you're taking the blood pressure of what color your skin is. How do, is there a different procedure? I mean, what is that even about? That is obvious pandering.
It was disgusting. And it was just one person after another after another. And if you would have read the comments that were coming up while this conference was going on, everybody's had it.
Wow.
Yeah, Luther, I think by and large, the average American has had it. I think they're fed up. They see what's going on here. They see when, for example, you've got Bill de Blasio out there acting like a fool on Fifth Avenue in front of Trump Tower, painting the Black Lives Matter sign. Meanwhile, you've got all sorts of chaos in the streets, police officers getting beat upside the head, and they're taking the money away from the law enforcement. It's anarchy in the streets. And people, by and large, have said, you know what? We're mad as hell. We're not going to take it anymore. And we'll have to see where all this plays out. Hey, Luther, thank you for holding on. And thanks for the update there in Michigan. And folks, that's really how this show operates. You have a pretty good idea of what's happening in your community, your neighborhoods. And we want you to fill us in so folks can know they're not alone, that there are many other like-minded people out there that are sick and tired of this nonsense coming from the so-called medical experts. All right, look, we've got to take a break here. Chad Hopper's going to stick around. We're going to take your calls, 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show.
America's only fair and balanced talk radio host, Todd Starnes.
Okay, I feel weird. I mean, Chet Hopper from The Real Resistance sitting across from me, and I feel like you're judging me. You're questioning my Southern street cred, Chet Hopper.
That's not in question at all. There's just a San Pellegrino on the table, and it threw me off because it wasn't. It's either here, it's either sweet tea, or you're doing something the Lord don't like. So I didn't know what you were doing.
I like the San Pellegrino. Otherwise, I like the Orange Crush, but it's a little too sweet for me.
I can see that. Yeah, they come in the regular cans and then the actual type 2 diabetes cans.
That's a good arch drink. All right, let's get back to the phones here. Ron in Arkansas, listening to us on the great KARN. Ron, say hello to Chet Hopper.
How you doing, partner?
Hey, what's going on, Ron?
Not a whole lot. It's burning hot in here, man. Woo, it's cooking me down. I tell you. It's sure cooking me down here, man. Feel like
I'm writing this down. Cooking me down.
Yes, sir.
All right, Ron, what's on your mind?
Well, first off, I don't understand why the government would give money to a Catholic or any kind of organization, given the fact that you came in public schools, as I was a public school teacher for so long. They don't even like you saying much about your own faith, and as far as separation from church and state. So I think that's kind of, that's definitely wrong. There's no doubt about that, according to the Constitution, or according to their definition of it. Separation of church and state, and also, given all these rights and everything. I understand you really believe that Trump's going to win, correct?
Oh, I do, Ron. I believe he's going to win in a landslide. I sure do.
I hope you're right, but I try to go. You guys are my base family, the conservatives, but I also try to listen to the liberals and the people in between, and a lot of people were real positive about that when John McCain ran against Obama, and then when Obama ran again. But I'm real nervous, Ron,
it's okay to be nervous, and I you're not the only one. I think there are a lot of people out there But Chet, weigh in here because, you know, in my estimation, I think the silent majority is going to wake up on election day and get out there and get to business.
Well, you know, it's funny that he brings up the McCain-Obama face-off because it was the same thing when it was Trump-Clinton. Every single broad, even the right-wing Fox News Alex Jones was sure that Hillary was going to win that. It was supposed to be a 99% lock for Hillary. And I remember watching the results come in on election day, and I remember it was so great because all the liberal tears were just flowing into the streets as states went red, you know, and I was like, he's really going to win. He's really going to win. Wait, he had less than a 1% chance. And what we found out is that people during election time are afraid to come out and say, yes, I'm going to support this president because of the backlash, but there's nobody inside that voting booth with you. And the common sense is kind of shown through definitely from the last election. And I think it's going to be more of the same this time. I mean, I did a thing the other day. I took a thing and I wrote, hi, I'm Joe Biden. And I just hit the text middle button on the thing to create a Joe Biden speech. And it says, hi, I'm Joe Biden. I'm confused at the office and I don't know why this keeps happening. That was what mine said. I was like, that could really be him. So I really don't think he's going to have a shot at debates or anything like that. I think most Americans are going to have the common sense that we don't need any more of the rioting, looting, praise for the terrible behavior that has been going on here lately. I think Trump's going to be fine.
Ron, thanks for the call. Hang in there. Don't get too discouraged, but it's okay. It's all right. I get it. I understand. I understand why folks would be a little nervous. All right, let's go to Habersham County, Georgia. Tom is on the line. Hi, Tom. What's on your mind today? Oh, we just lost Tom. All right. Well, look, I mean, seriously, Chet, I think people are a little nervous.
Yeah.
But I think when you sit back and realize you've got people in the state of Texas, of all places, that want to make you wear a mask in your house, I think people rise up and revolt.
You know what? If you're having to wear a mask in your own house, especially with it being in Texas, like the other day when the armed militia group came up to like wherever the Black Mountain was, and they were interviewing the leader, and he was like, well, we're ready for our reparations. We'll just take Texas. Everybody that watched that went, bro, you might want to pick another state. Like, you're not going to get Texas. Texas, they'll shoot you for having a cow in their yard, and the mayor don't care. So Texas is also kind of where some of the Silicon Valley people are migrating to. So it's starting to get a little purple, but I just don't think it's blue enough yet for you to start telling Texans where they can and can't wear in their own house. It's still Texas.
Well, it is. And honestly, I think the bigger issue facing the country, and this could be the issue that moves people to the ballot box, is what they do with college football.
Oh, yeah. College football is in the South anyway. You got church and then you got the SEC. Those are your two priorities around here. Without college football, people are going to lose their mind.
Oh, they will. And we already saw the Big Ten announcing yesterday they're going to play a strict conference schedule, canceling again. They were going to play the University of Memphis.
Yeah, Purdue. We're going to have a Purdue game. Mm-hmm. And then now that's out.
And I'm telling you, I think the bigger issue, you're looking at tax bases drying up in major metropolitan areas, well, really all cities around the country. And that's going to be a big deal.
Well, I don't understand. Unless it is just a push to finally end us all up into one world government, I don't understand trying to break the people who fund your cities. I don't understand it.
Chet Hopper, got to leave it there. Been a lot of fun. Tomorrow, noon to two on Mighty990.com. You got to listen to The Real Resistance with Chet and Sherry Hopper. Hey, my good friend Joe Battaglia coming up next, plus your calls. We'll be right back. Turn your microphone on for just a moment.
Yes, sir.
You've been busy today.
I have.
It's a Friday. Normally, it's sort of relaxed on Fridays.
Yeah, sort of lenient, but not so today.
You got some fan mail. I forwarded over some fan mail.
Yes.
Caleb, I don't get this. You know, I get the hate mail, but the audience loves call screener Avery.
Yeah, you get the hate mail. He gets the fan mail, and I get no mail. So people are just, I guess, sort of indifferent towards me.
It's my sunny disposition.
Oh, is that what it, well, I was just wondering. That clears that up. But it was a yoga margarita. Is that right? Is that the image that
is a Yoda said? Margarita. You said yoga.
Did I say yoga?
Yes, you did.
I meant Yoda. Yoda margarita.
That, and I sent back to you, that's what I would do if I were a bartender. I would make things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it was really clever. My favorite part was probably like the little, they tied a napkin around like the base of the glass, and then they put like one of the little fruit skewers that happened to be green on it as well for his lightsaber, and I just thought that was amazing.
Refreshing it is.
That was good. That was a lot better than yesterday.
I'm working on it. I'm working on the voices. It's a process. Hey, I want to go to the Liberty University Newsmaker line. My good friend Joe Battaglia, I think he's still there. Joe, did we lose you after the Yoda conversation? Or?
Oh, you just never know what you're going to hear on your show.
Well, you got that right. We were talking about we were talking about butt naked turtles in Mississippi in the last segment, and I'm still trying to figure that one out. But
well, I've never seen turtles any other way than that.
Joe Battaglia, folks. Joe is a dear friend of this program and just an incredible author. And I've had the honor to write the foreword to at least one of your books. And, you know, I was sitting back the other day and I had your book. I'm not sure why, but the book was on my desk. The book is called Unfriended, Finding True Community in a Disconnected Culture. And I thought to myself, this book came out a couple of years ago, but Joe, I mean, the message is so relevant to what's happening in our country right now.
Well, without a doubt, and of course, the new one, Make America Good Again, for which you also wrote the foreword. And so I think everything I write kind of comes to pass, unfortunately. You know, even what I did 5 years ago with Politically Incorrect Jesus is now coming to full bloom, as I kind of predicted back then. So you and I are on the same page, buddy.
One of the things that really troubles me is just the level of hate and vitriol that is out there in social media right now, Joe. And even among evangelicals, even among people of faith, there is this really deep-seated animosity. And I just have to imagine that is not healthy for the country.
Well, obviously, it's not healthy for anything, and that's totally one of the problems that stems from, again, the politically correct agenda. If you trace its roots back, it's all about creating an us versus them mentality. It has nothing to do with being reconciled to people, forgiveness, or any of the other great biblical themes that everybody says they want, but never do, because to engage in that would require humility and asking forgiveness and the things that really bring people together as one, which is the genius of our nation and our faith, that we are all different yet one, not that we are all the same in one. So, yeah, I mean, that's the spirit of the age that we live in. And so the further we get from our biblical foundation and roots, morality begins to slip. And then people begin to fear because they have nothing that enables them to say, what is my faith in? Is it solely what I see around me, or is there something larger, bigger? And so that's why it's important for us to say that greatness may be about achievement, but goodness is about character, and we're missing a lot of character in our nation today.
You know, Joe, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you saw this, it made a lot of news. There was this powwow. Our good friend Louis Giglio down in Atlanta was having the powwow about race. Dan Cathy there and Lecrae, the artist. And this... I just felt, you know, I kind of felt bad. I mean, they kind of got, you know, I get what they were trying to do, but poor Louis Giglio just stepped in it. And, you know, that was a big national story. Then people actually finished watching it and they saw Dan Cathy in this, really was an act of contrition, bowing down and washing the sneakers of Lecrae. And, you know, for me, it was kind of a weird thing, but it was poignant because I understood what he was trying to do. You know, we're all familiar with the foot washing Baptists, so we kind of get
right.
that. But the response,
yes, we do.
The response from Lecrae was just mind-boggling. A few days later, when he castigated both of those men and really questioned their motives, and I'm thinking, how do we get to the point where even people like Louis Giglio and Dan Cathy and Lecrae can't get together and have some sort of a meaningful conversation without, you know, all you know what breaking loose?
Yeah, and that's strange because I know all three of those people. I think what happens is there's a blindness that comes upon us sometimes. And in trying to find the character of Christ in each of us is sometimes lost in the translation of what people try to do with their best intention, which may not always be the best that somebody requires. And so I was a little shocked at that. And maybe Lecrae felt that there was a different spirit going on there than he thought should be. Not having been there, it's hard to talk about it, but you would think that coming to each other in a moment of confession and forgiveness is always a better plan. And I've always counseled about watch what you put on the internet and how you do all that, because you can't see context online. You can only see what you want to see. And so it is disconcerting to see the body itself having a problem with each other. And I see lots of rants against a lot of our major pastors and leaders because they are of a certain color and by other believers. And, you know, I'm really saddened that we can't come to a better understanding of how we do relate to one another and actually have meaningful discussions about race and everything else. That's really vital. And we need to have these national discussions. But the spirit that you always give in a certain situation is the same one that is received at the other end by the person receiving it. And so we have to be really careful that when we go into any situation that our spirit communicates what Jesus would want us to, which is that kind of acceptance and love and forgiveness and generosity. And defensive spirits don't receive that. So there's a lot of discussion that needs to happen, and that's why I write about faith and culture and how we must look to the one who is the author and finisher of our faith, and that is Christ, because he rises above the politics and the polemics to give us a way in which to model what everybody wants to see happen, but seemingly can't get on the same page to make it happen. So I think it's important that we, remember these things and look at them and have those discussions with the Spirit of Christ in the forefront.
On the Newsmaker line, good friend of this program, Joe Battaglia, and you got to read his books, folks. It's just good stuff. And the most recent book, Make America Good Again, 12 and a half biblical principles to unite our nation, restore true greatness, and reshape our political rhetoric. It's a terrific book. You know, the problem is, Joe, you write these amazing books, but I don't like your books because every time I read your books, I feel bad. I'm like, oh, geez-a-loo. Joe's been reading my Twitter feed.
Well, you know what? I write these books oftentimes for myself first. Because I, as a journalist, and that's my training, degree, and background, I've developed my own motto and mission as a journalist, which is to illumine what others cannot see. And I think that's the same about faith. My job is to help people see what is not seen. And so I write these books so that I better understand what I believe. And you ought to see how I feel when I write my own books. I chuckle, you know, and then I have to stop and confess, and then I have to keep writing. Because the wonderful thing about writing is that, and many authors will tell you this, as many creatives will tell you, you have no idea where these thoughts come from. I oftentimes will take my books, put them aside after I've written something, and I'll say, that's really good. Where'd that come from? And so that's why I believe in the inerrancy of Scripture, because I see God working through my heart in ways that I was never I would never understand until he puts that down. And so, yeah, I mean, I think it's all about, like I said, the spirit that we bring into anything we do as a creative. If I want people to understand me, I can't have a defensive spirit in my approach to them. I have to come as a servant and in love, because that's how Christ demanded that we go. And then, as we do that first, we speak truth, and truth is the thing that engages people to act in their crazy ways, right? And so we, you know, everybody who feels called to enter into the political arena in one way, or their city council, or their PTA, or all the things that believers must do and be engaged in to salt and light the world, you know, what they take into that environment is that spirit of Christ, and in that spirit of love and acceptance, never backing down from the truth as we understand it. And we know that Jesus was the embodiment of that truth. So we don't back down, but we fight the war with a different set of eyes and a different set of principles, because we know it's not flesh and blood, but it's a spiritual battle more than it is anything else. And so I'm always, you know, talking with people to you know, say that, you know, as Christians, you know, our objective is to help each other become better humans, not necessarily better political allies. And so I always hear Christ calling me to a higher standard than I would call myself to. And so if what I write makes you stop and think, my friend, it's made me stop and think all along. And it's good. You know, we're supposed to sharpen each other. And that's the important thing. But we do it in the spirit of love and acceptance and forgiveness and humility. But there's too much hubris out there among our leaders you know, a good foot washing, you know, might be great in Congress.
Or come to Jesus, like Hellfire and Brimstone Revival meeting is what we need.
Well, we just need to set up a tent outside.
Joe, you know Congress. What I needed to do? I think I'm going to have you write the foreword to my next book. I think, you know what, we've got it. The working title is Unmasked. So figure out where we're going with that one.
Well, I like your writings as well, because you basically speak what is true. And, you know, I have a chapter in the book is that when we lose our moral compass, we lose our common sense.
It's true.
And that's why you and I look around, and I'm sure many of your listeners, and say, what in the world are those guys talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
true.
It's incredulous. And it's not even that I'm a Christian looking at that. I think anybody with any kind of common sense would look at things like, well, let's defund the police, or let's, you know, do something else that just is insane. You know, let's tear down burn down the Elk in Portland.
Unbelievable.
What has that got to do with anything? But we understand that nonsense is the end result of losing your common sense, which
well
is the
said.
End result of losing your moral base. And so just like Moses,
yeah,
people are dancing around the camp.
Well, yeah, I'm a Baptist. I have no rhythm, so I can't dance. But we got to leave it there. They're yelling at me. We got to take a break here. Joe, we're going to get you back. Thank you for coming on the program. What a great book you wrote. Multiple books. Make America Good Again. Folks, you got to read this book. Joe, God bless. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
We'll be right back.
You're listening to Todd Starnes.
So, guys, somebody on the Facebook page felt bad for Caleb, so they're going to try to send Caleb an email.
Well, that's nice. I'll be glad to get some. I know what it feels like to be Avery now.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mr. Popularity.
Yeah.
Maybe he needs to have his own talk show.
I think it's the burrito logo.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's the cape.
Mm-hmm. I like the cape.
Yeah. Yeah, it is what it is. You know, I met Lecrae once, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, we were presenters together at the Dove Awards.
Oh, that's cool.
I had to present in the Christian hip hop category.
Oh, God.
It's a true story. It's a long story.
How much Christian hip hop do you listen to on a regular basis? I can put you on the spot.
I didn't even know there was such a thing. But apparently, anyway, Lecrae was very critical of me he in a joking way because he said I wasn't wearing bling. And I was wearing a hot pink pocket square. I thought that was pretty blingy, but clearly it was not.
A la Craig Sager?
I'll have to save this story for another day. Folks, it's been a lot of fun this week. Hey, ToddStarnes.com. Check out the podcast and the newsletter. Lots of great stuff for you there. Hey, I want to thank JP and Caleb, Avery. Great team, guys. It's been a lot of fun. Get out there. Enjoy Friday. And whatever you do, be sure to go to church this weekend.